morning, Mamlaka. Good morning again.
Good morning.
Our scripture reading today comes from the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 2 and verses 13 through 15. The book of Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. Would you please stand in honor of God's word? When you are dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you all alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it all away, nailing it to the cross. And in verse 15, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. You may be seated. This is the reading of God's word.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Modoni, for reading us the scripture. And Pastor Eric, thank you so much for leading us. I believe that this is a very, very special Sunday in the life of this church, where we are actually living out God's mission. See, we exist for just one purpose, and that is to bring God's lost people into his family, and it was wonderful to see them declaring publicly that they are now part of the family of God. Let us celebrate God. That's the evidence that God is amongst us, and he's working, and he's using Mamlaka Hill Chapel to do the work that he has purposed for it here on earth. Let me also take this moment to express my gratitude to all of you for praying for myself and Mothoni and our family. The last couple of weeks, we lost our mom. And last Saturday, we laid her to rest. I'm sure that someone might be asking, how come you're preaching right away? We thought that probably you should take more time. And I just thought that now that my mom is in the presence of God, maybe she just might tap God's shoulder and say, that's my boy. That's my boy right there. I thought, I don't know, maybe. Now, if you are like me and you have a child or children, perhaps one of the most annoying questions from your infant child as they were beginning to talk was the why question. You probably remember your child going into places they should not have gone or touched things that they should not have been touching, and you said, stop it. And this little thing turned around and looked at you and asked, why? Now, regardless of how you felt and how annoying that question must have come from your child in relation to a very obvious instruction, why questions are important questions. Why questions have a way of getting at the root of something or a situation. You see, why questions don't beat about the bush. In fact, someone has correctly observed, I don't know if it's correct, but I once read that in an organization, those people who can be able to answer the question, or rather the why, the how question, or the what question, will always work for those in the same organization who can answer the question, the why, rather, who can be able to answer the why question. Why questions are important when asked because they push us to find the truth of something, to get right to the heart of something. Now, being in the season that we are in, last week, we began a series of messages based on Easter. And Pastor Baraka started by asking the why question. Some of you can recall the question was, why Christ's life matters. Today I want to continue along the same line. And I want to, for us to look at the why question in relation to Good Friday. Why do we call Good Friday, Good Friday? Why do we celebrate Good Friday? What is so good about Good Friday that we should call it Good Friday? We know that on that day, our Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed by one of his own. We know that on that day, he was denied by one who was very close to him. And we know that the rest of those that he had walked with closely for 3 years abandoned him on that day. We know on that day he was brought before Pilate and he was mocked, taken before the crowd and the high priests. And a question was raised whether a criminal by the name, not Barnabas, but Barabbas, should be released or he should be released. And the crowd shouted, "Release Barabbas and crucify Jesus Christ." We know that on that day he was forced to carry a heavy cross and was beaten along the way as he went up that hill called the Hill of Golgotha, where he was eventually crucified killed in a horrible way by crucifixion. So why, in light of what happened to our Lord Jesus Christ, do we turn around and look at that very day that all these things happened to him and still say that was a good day? Why do we call Friday, this Friday that Christ died, this Friday that Christ suffered, why do we call it Good Friday? Well, I want to spend our time together into next week looking at the reasons why I do believe that Good Friday is perhaps, if not the most important day, or ought to be the most important day on every Christian's calendar, and I would even say on every human's calendar. In my opinion, and you may disagree with me on this, I believe very strongly that Good Friday is more important than Christmas Day. I say that because without Good Friday, Christmas would be meaningless. Now, I know someone who is arguing for or advocating for Christmas as a special day will say, but without Christmas, there would be no Good Friday. I agree, we disagree. But for me, Good Friday is the day. If you wanted to buy me a gift, don't buy me a gift on Christmas. This would be around the best time to buy a gift for me. I promise I will not say anything around Christmas in relation to how important Christmas is. Good Friday is good. Number one, because on that day, through his death, through his suffering, our Lord Jesus Christ paid in full for the debt of our sinfulness. Through his suffering, he paid in full for our sinfulness. Because we owe God a debt. Now, I don't know if you have ever been in debt. You owe someone money, or you owe an institution, a bank like Equity or Standard or Absa. You owe money that you are expected or required to pay back. You know how frustrating and how challenging it can be to know, to wake up every single day and know that you are in debt. You know, if you are like me, how relieving it is, how freeing it is to step into that bank and go into the cashier's office and write a check or get on your online banking account and press that button to pay the last penny that you owe the bank. You know how, if you are like me, you look forward to your salary because you know that now you will get a full salary that you don't have to deduct anything to pay off your debt. It is relieving. It is freeing. It is exciting to pay off a debt and to know that you have paid it in full. But here is the deal. It is one thing to be in debt and to know that you can be able to pay off your debt. It's another thing to be in debt and know that for all practical purposes, you will not be able to pay that debt. Did you know that all of us human beings, we are in debt to God? We are in debt to God as far as sin is concerned. The Apostle Paul alluded to this when he was writing to the Romans in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. And he wrote and said to them, and in essence saying to all of us, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us, with exception of none, have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. To fall short of the glory of God simply means that all of us have fallen short of God's expectation as far as righteousness is concerned. Because when he created us in his image, it was his intent that we would reflect this righteousness. But because of the presence of sin in this world and in our lives, we have fallen short of his glory. Meaning that we are in debt to God as far as righteousness is concerned. Now, being humans as we are, and our natural desire to have a spiritual deity above us or to rely on, many of us, years past and even today, have tried to pay off this debt on our own without success. Because it is not possible for you and I to pay off this debt of sin that we owe God on our own. Some of you may know Martin Luther, the father of that great Reformation. Martin Luther learned the hard way that you can't pay God on your own. You cannot be able to satisfy God on your own. You remember that Martin Luther wanted to gain God's favor. And so he decided that in order for him to get this sin debt paid, he would become a monk, a pious monk. Because he believed that by becoming religious, he would be able to gain favor with God. But Martin Luther, like many of us, learned the hard way that acts of righteousness will never be able to pay off this debt that we owe God. He eventually wrote, "I was indeed a pious monk. If ever a monk could obtain heaven by his monkish works, I should certainly have been entitled to it. You see, none of us can pay the debt that we owe God on our own, especially by engaging in acts of righteousness, giving alms to the poor, opening our homes to the homeless, giving our resources to the community so that people's lives can be made better. All of those things are wonderful things, but none of them can earn you the forgiveness of the debt of sin that you and I owe God. So the question is this: if you and I have a debt or owe God, and we cannot on our own be able to pay off this debt, what hope do you have? What hope do I have? We know that when Paul says that all have sinned and fallen short of glory of God, in the same breath, he comes and says, but the wages of sin is death. So the issue here is that we are in debt to God. We cannot be able to pay off our own debt. And yet, we are under condemnation because of this debt that we owe. What hope do you have? What hope do I have? Well, this morning I have some wonderful news for you. You and I have a hope because of this day we call Good Friday. Because on this day, this Good Friday, our Lord Jesus Christ's suffering and death on the cross provided for you the opportunity or the ability to be able to pay off your debt. Because of his suffering, because of the death on the cross, God has made it possible for every living human being to be forgiven of their sins, to receive a certificate that says your sins have been forgiven. You have paid off your debt of sin. Because of Good Friday, because of what Christ accomplished on the cross, it is now possible for what was impossible to be accomplished now. That's why Good Friday is indeed Good Friday. In the passage of scripture that Modoni read to us earlier, the Apostle Paul was writing to the Colossians, and he wrote in past tense to remind them of their condition before they accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives. And he wanted them to step back and to remember so that they, like us today, can be able to celebrate Good Friday. And he writes to them in verse 13 and says, before Christ, you were dead because of your sins. You were dead because of your sins. Simply, you had fallen short of the glory of God, and because of that, you are totally separated from God, dead in your sins. And then he says, then at that time when you are dead in your sins, headed to hell without hope, without the ability to pay off your debt, God made you alive with Christ. For he forgave all your sins. Listen, Colossians, before Christ, before you knew that you could accept the free gift of God for eternal life through his son, Jesus Christ, before then, you are dead. But when you accepted Jesus, he made you alive. You are no longer dead in your sins, you are alive because God made you alive with who? With Christ. Why with Christ? Because of the sacrifice that he made on the cross. For God, he continues to say, forgave all of your sins. Listen, Colossians. God forgave all of your sins the day that you acknowledged him as your savior. You remember you couldn't pay. You remember how you struggled in your sins, not knowing what to do with your sin. God, through Christ, when you accepted the free gift that he was offering you, he forgave all your sins. I want you to take note of the word all, because all means, Colossians, listen, all means every single sin that you ever committed before Christ, God forgave you. Maybe one of the Colossians was a murderer before they became Christian. They murdered somebody. It's a horrible crime. Maybe they sat somewhere in the corner and saying, okay, some of my friends have sinned there, but some of their sins were just a white lie here and there. But for me, how can God be able to forgive? That's why the Apostle Paul uses the word all of your sins, without exception. He could have written to the Colossians as much as he would write to us. Maybe it is a horrible sin as an abortion, and you are living in guilt and shame. And you're wondering, yeah, sin is sin, but this was a horrible sin. Can God forgive me? Maybe you have a beautiful family, you have a beautiful wife and children, and you have a great man as a husband. And you're stuck in some kind of sin, and you're wondering, can I get deliverance, and can God forgive me, or did God forgive me? He writes and says, then God made you alive with Christ. For he forgave what? All your sins. In verse 14, he continues to say, he canceled the record. In other words, there was a record of the wrongs that you and I had done. The sin that we inherited from Adam, the sin that we inherited from our parents, the sins that we continually sin every single day were all listed as charges against us. And it says that he paid in full. So when you accepted Christ, the price was paid in full. In his death on the cross, Jesus paid the debt required for sin. In other words, Jesus completely wiped out our certificate of sin, of debt. You see, in those days when someone was in debt, and they walked into the place where they would pay off their debt, they would receive a certificate. And on that certificate would be the words, tetelestai. Tetelestai simply means paid in full, or it is finished. Some of you know where I'm going with this. Because on the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, just before he died, He took the same imagery of what used to happen when someone would pay in full the debt that they had. And he said what? He said, it is finished. He had laid the foundation, the basis, where you and I now can be able to step in into that bank and have our debt of sin completely taken care of. Which leads me to the second reason why I believe that Good Friday ought to be the most wonderful day, the most important day on every Christian's calendar. And that is, in his death on the cross, our Lord Jesus Christ redeemed us from slavery to sin. He redeemed us from slavery and from the power and control of sin in our lives. You see, when sin came into this world, it not only separated us from God, infecting us and causing us to be in debt with God as far as righteousness is concerned. When sin came into the world, it did that, but it also purposed to take control of us and to enslave us. You see, to be a slave is to be under control of another. And that has always been the purpose of sin in our life, to take control of us and to cause us to obey its desires. The apostle, not the apostle, but Jesus referred to this in John 8:32, when he said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin." In other words, sin's purpose in life is not only to separate you from God, but also to enslave you and to cause you to obey its desires. I am sure that many of you who are sitting here can testify of the powerful ability of sin to take control of us and to cause us to do things that we know are wrong, and to cause us to do things that we know are harmful to our lives and to our families. The Apostle Paul alluded to this in his own experience. In Romans chapter 7, writing to Romans chapter 7, he said in verse 21, "I have discovered the principle of life." And the principle is that whenever I want to do what is right, I inevitably find myself doing what is wrong. I love God's word. The words that he uses are, "I love the law of God." But there is this power that is at war in my mind, that is trying to cause me to obey the sin within me and to become its slave. And then the Apostle Paul, as he thinks, as he digests those words, he cries out and says, "Oh, what a wretched man I am. Who will deliver me? Who will redeem me from this life of death and sin?" In other words, the Apostle Paul is saying that sin has the ability of taking you captive. That's its purpose. And to cause you and to cause me to obey it. Sometimes, I think a couple of years ago, some of you may have read this story of a young man who was walking by a church. And somehow he just felt within his heart that he needed to break into the church and steal something. He had no agenda of what to steal, but he just felt, "You need to steal something from the church. It would be a great accomplishment." I mean, you could steal from the bank, but can you imagine stealing from the church? Now that's big. So he broke into the church and he looked around, and the only things that he could come across that he could steal were the Holy Communion elements. So he took the Holy Communion elements, but he was caught later on, and they asked him, "Why? Why did you break into the church and steal the communion items?" And he said, "I have no idea. There was just something within me that wanted to achieve something. And I had to fulfill that quench within me of stealing something. And what I came across was the Holy Communion. And when I took the Holy Communion, I felt this huge relief that I had accomplished something that most people are not able to. One of the things that you are struggling with is just hatred for someone. And you ask yourself, really, why do I dislike this person? You go through all the things. Is it tribe? Is it what? Why don't I like this person? But it's just something within you that causes you to dislike the person. Or maybe you just want to stretch a truth. You know you could stop where you need to stop, but you feel that you must embellish the truth a little bit. And you don't know why you should. There's nothing, I mean, you're not going to get anything out of it, but you just want to do it. It is sin that is within us that the Apostle Paul talks about. I want to do what is right, but in my mind there is this power that is at war within me, trying to get me to become a slave of the sin that still dwells in me. But here is the good news. In verse 25 of Romans chapter 7, the Apostle Paul answers his very own question when he says, who will deliver me from this wretched body? Who will deliver me from this life that is dominated by death and sin? In verse 25, he says, but thanks be to God, who delivers us, or who redeems us, through his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. He delivers us through his Son. His Son, who on that Good Friday carried the cross, going up the hill called Golgotha. They spit on him. They did all kinds of weird things on him, and eventually crucified him. And when he died and said, it's finished, God now was able, through his death and through his sacrifice, to redeem us back to himself. You see why I say that Good Friday is the most wonderful day in a Christian's life or in any human being's life? Because without the death of Christ on Good Friday, we would be completely under the power and control and dominion and condemnation of sin. But because of Christ's death on the cross, we can be delivered. He has provided for the basis of that. We are told that on the cross, our Lord Jesus Christ shed blood. And it is that blood that the Bible tells us was the price that was paid for your redemption and my redemption. Without Good Friday, Jesus would not have shed blood on the cross. And there would be nothing that you could be able to do in order to get free or to be redeemed from the power and control of sin. I like the words of Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. He makes it clear, for you know, Mamlakites, that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or shillings or dollars or euros or kwachas, he says, silver or gold, that you were redeemed from your sinful lifestyle. Or you could say it wasn't because of your giving or attending church or being a good person or being a great Catholic or PCA or being a good Mamlakite. Listen, he says, it was because of the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect, that was shed on the cross. The Bible tells us that he made him who had no sin to become what? To become sin for us. He took all our sins, placed them on the cross, and in the words of Colossians, nailed them to the cross, so that you and I now, as human beings, we can be able to walk into the presence of a holy God and receive righteousness. Righteousness that now makes us acceptable to him. You see, when the Bible says that none should perish, but all should have everlasting life, all of that is based on Christ's work on the cross. Perhaps a great story that is told about redemption that I hope can be able to bring this home is a story about a young boy. A story is told about a young boy who made or built this beautiful boat, a toy boat. This boy was very artistic. He dreamed in his mind of a boat that he would enjoy to play with. And so for several days, he worked diligently. And at the end of it, he brought about this beautiful boat. He put it in front of himself, looked at it, and said, "It's wonderful. Even I who made it feel that I have accomplished something." But he realized that in order for him to really come to the place where he can say that this boat will serve its purpose, he needed to take it and take it to a local dam or pond and place it on the water and see if it would float. And that's exactly what he did. He went to a nearby dam, and this young boy stretched himself carefully and placed this wonderful boat on this water. And he began to follow the boat. Some of you can recall doing something like that. I used to do that, but we didn't have a dam. We had mitaros where I was growing, so you'd follow the boat when it has rained around April, and you'd follow your boat. So he followed the boat, but as he was following the boat, all of a sudden there was this gush, this strong wind that came and began to blow and to push this boat farther and farther away from him. He tried to run towards it, but he couldn't. Eventually, the boat disappeared. It was completely out of his sight. This young man, boy, was devastated. He was very sad and dejected. He left that place and walked back home. Perhaps a journey that would have taken and felt like 1 kilometer felt like 20 kilometers for him. He had lost something very precious. A couple of days later, it was market day on that day. And as a young boy, like any other boy, market days were great days. And especially around the toy stores or shops. So he went to around this toy shop, and he was doing what most of us will do, window shop. But as he was there, window shopping, something caught his attention, and he stood and froze. Something familiar. Yes, you guessed it right. He looked through the window, and he saw his boat on the display shelf. You can imagine the excitement and joy that this boy had. He was so excited. He ran into the shop and said to the shopkeeper, "Sir, sir, that is my boat. Please give it to me. It's my boat. I lost it." And the shopkeeper looked at this young boy and said, "No, I don't know if this boat ever belonged to you, but even if it ever belonged to you, it is my boat now. It is on the shelf so that whoever has the resources to buy it can buy it, and it will belong to them." So the boy asked, "How much will it cost to buy this boat?" And he was told the price. The boy dug into his pockets and removed every single cent that he had and gave it to the shopkeeper. And the shopkeeper went and took the boat very carefully and handed it to the boy. And the boy received the boat, and he held the boat tightly. He put it under his wings, sorry, under his shoulders. Some of you know where I'm going with this. And held it tightly. And as he was headed home with this boat, he began to speak to the boat. And he said to the boat, "My boat, I created you so that I could enjoy time with you. But then the sins or the winds of sin came and pushed you farther and farther away from me. And I lost you. I want you to know, my boat, now I will never, never, never leave you. Nor will I ever forsake you. No one will ever be able again to snatch you away from my hands. Because my boat, you see, he who believes in my son Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, I give them eternal life. They no longer come under condemnation. My boat, listen, they pass from death into life." Some of you know who I am talking about. You see, God created us in his own image so that we could enjoy fellowship, so that we could enjoy a relationship with him. But the winds of sin came and took us away and drove us away and drove us away from him, and we disappeared in thin air. And God came up with a price, the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, to buy us back. God now says, "I owned you once as a creator. I own you now, having bought you with the precious blood of the Lamb, of the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the perfect Lamb." And that blood was shed on that wonderful, great, beautiful day that we celebrate called Good Friday. That's why I say Good Friday is good. And there is no day like Good Friday. On that day, Christ paid in full for the debt of our sins. On that day, Christ provided for your redemption and for my redemption from the power and control of sin. I haven't told you enough of how and why this day is such a great day. I think I'll continue next week, because there are many reasons. You're going to get excited about Good Friday. You'll never look at Good Friday the same again. Eric.